Hello, and welcome to this morning's recording for the 9th of August 2020, which is becoming a very interesting year. This recording is for the children in Ignite who are in reception up to year 6. I hope you're well and your family are okay. Before we go any further, let us play our little game. So I am thinking of a drink. If you can guess what it is now, you can have 5 points. For 4 points, this drink can be hot or cold. So you can drink it when it's hot or when it's cold. Any ideas? This is a drink you can mix with other drinks. And that's for 3 points. 2, this drink has no color. And for 1 point, it is said to be very refreshing. Do you know what that drink might be that I'm thinking of? If you said water, you are absolutely right. Well done. No prizes, I'm afraid. It's just for fun. So today we're going to continue talking about the things that Christians should know. And today I would like to talk about one of the Psalms again. If you remember that, we started talking about the Psalms 2 weeks ago. So this is a third look at the Psalms. We've looked at Psalm 1, we've looked at Psalm 23. We're going to take a big jump and now talk about Psalm 91. This is quite another nice little psalm that you can turn into a prayer. And it's got 16 verses, so it's not that difficult to memorize because it's so easy to apply it to God looking after you and God protecting you. And that is the main focus of this psalm. It talks about the protection and comfort and care that we get from God. So let's just go straight into it. Verse 1 and 2 says, "Whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." So here we see that God has a secret place, a place where He hides the people that love him. He hides his children and he keeps them safe. And the psalmist is just saying here that whoever trusts and loves God can live in that place. They can dwell in that place. They can rest in that place. And it takes us back to when we looked at John chapter 3 verse 16. Which says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not die, but will have everlasting life." And that idea that God calls everybody into his family. He doesn't exclude anyone. He doesn't say, "I only want this group of people and not another group." So this psalm, again, is for whoever trusts in God will have this. Okay, so you don't have to be tall or old or young or anything. You just have to trust in God and you will have this protection and this comfort and this care from God. Right, so again it says that I will look to God. In verse 2 it says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." A refuge is somewhere that you go to be kept safe. If you've been in any trouble, you can go to a refuge and they will keep you safe. A fortress is like a big castle that's up on a hill that will also keep you safe. It's like a really high place that has got a lot of things to protect you, like thick walls, and it might have a moat. So it might be like a castle that will protect you from bad things happening. And then it tells us that it's God that we should trust. We should trust God for all of this. Verse 3 and 4 says, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and buckler. Right. So the first part says God will save us from the fowler's snare. Now, a fowler is somebody who catches birds. And to catch birds, you had to be quite clever. And in our scenario here, the fowler is the devil. And all the tricks that the devil does to try and take you away from God or turn you, make you turn away from God. The fowler works in secret. He does not sort of like do the things that he does to trick birds into falling into his traps. He doesn't do that in the open where the birds can see them. And that's the same with the devil. The devil sometimes works in secret to try and trick us and turn us away from God. And the devil sets traps to try and trick us and catch us out. And that's exactly what the fowler does when he wants to catch a bird. He would set traps to trick the bird. And every now and again, the fowler needs to change where he sets his traps, and he changes his methods. And that's exactly what the devil does in our life. He tries to trick us by changing how he attacks us. If you want to catch a bird, you can put little bits of raisins, something sweet, that will trick the bird and make it come to wherever the trap is. And sometimes the devil does that. He sets up things that look very good or things that look like they'll make us very happy. And he tricks us into thinking that if we have that, then we will be happy. But some of these things make us turn away from God, or they make us give other things more attention than the attention we should be giving to God. If you want to catch a bird as well, you can use a decoy. You can put something that attracts that bird's attention and makes it go the way that you want it to go. And that's what the devil does. Sometimes he puts things in our way to take us away from where God wants us to walk, the path that God wants us to walk. And he wants to set us on a different path that is not good for us. So there are lots of different ways that the devil can try and trick us. But here the Bible is telling us that God will save us from the devil's traps. And he will keep us safe. And he will whisper things to us to keep us on the right path and not to be led away by the devil. And the deadly pestilence are all the things that could hurt you, your body. They're all the things that are like diseases or illnesses or plagues that might come and try and kill you. And God protects us from these things. And he keeps us safe. In verse 4 it says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. When a mother bird has a chick, it'll do everything it can to keep it safe. And one of the things it does is it covers it with its wings and hides it from danger so that nobody knows there's a little chick there that's weak and might need help. And sometimes that's what God does. He hides us from trouble, and he hides us from bad things, and he keeps us safe, and he makes sure that nothing bad will happen to us. And then the latter part of that verse 4 says, his faithfulness will be your shield and buckler. Now, when a shield is a bit smaller than a buckler, which is the great big shields really that they used to use to protect themselves, and the Roman army was well known for making sure that when they stood next to each other, their shields were touching, so absolutely nothing could come near them because they would form like a big wall of protection. So that is what a buckler is, or a rampart, it says in some other Bibles. So God is so faithful that he will keep you safe, just like a shield or a rampant would do, and it will just protect you all the way up to above your head. It's a really, really big, big shield that protects you really high up. And when you put it on the ground, you can just hide behind there. And that is what God's faithfulness does. It hides us from any danger that's coming. Verse 5 and 6 says, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." Now here the psalmist is trying to look at all the times of the day where bad things could happen to you or things could attack you. Whether that is at night when you're lying down and you're feeling fearful, God will protect you. Or whether there are arrows or things coming at you during the day, God will protect you. Or whether there's something creeping in the darkness trying to scare you or attack you, God will protect you. Or whether it's something right in the middle of the day and it's not even trying to hide, God will protect you. And it's showing that God protects everywhere we are. And when we have his protection, we will not fear anything. And that is the result of God's protection. We've seen that God protects us, and then we've seen how he protects us with all this armor. And now we see that that protection will remove any fear from us and will make us feel happy and secure in God. Verse 7 and 8 is again just giving us that assurance as a believer, letting us know that we don't have to worry. Verse 7 says, "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only see with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." So verse 7 is talking about how even though things are close to you, because God is protecting and watching over you, other people around you might be affected by bad things, but you won't be. Your next door neighbors might be affected, or people that you know might be affected, but you will be safe because God will be watching over you. And it says that you will observe and see with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So those people that are not trusting in God, those people that are giving their time and attention to other things and not looking to Jesus to save them, they are considered to be wicked people. And the Bible tells us that bad things will happen to them, but we will be safe. And then we're going to read verse 9 to 13. "If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, nor disease will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone, and you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent." Now, all of this is showing us the promise of God. God promises to deliver us, and he promises us that no bad thing is going to happen to us. It says, if you will trust God, if you will say that God is your refuge, God is your hiding place, and you make him your dwelling, and you make God the place that you live and where you spend most of your time, then nothing is going to hurt you. Nothing is going to come near your tent. Well, in our case, it'll be your house. Nothing is going to come near your house. Nothing is going to harm you. For God will tell his angels to look after you and to guard you in everything that you do. And isn't that lovely to know that God is looking after you in everything that you're doing? You can trust in his presence, and you can trust in him being there for you. And it says that the angels will lift you up in their hands, and you will never hurt your foot. Now, when the devil was tempting Jesus, this was one of the things that he said. He says, God has said he would watch over you, and the angels would would lift you up and support you all the time. So throw yourself down from this great height, because God's angels are going to look after you. But Jesus knew enough that the devil was trying to tempt him and make him do bad things. And so he said, no, I do not have to use the angels like that. I know that God loves me, even without doing all of that. And he refused to do it, because if he had done it, he would have been working with the devil, and the devil was trying to trick him out. In verse 13, when he's talking about the lion and the cobra, this is one of the things that when Jesus was on earth, he said that when you are a Christian, you will be able to step on lions and scorpions, and they will not hurt you. Well, he didn't really mean for us to take our shoes off and go and try stepping on a dangerous snake or a scorpion. But he meant that things that could hurt us, things that would, you know, like if something bad happened in our life, like if we lost a lot of money, that should really hurt us and that should make us feel sad. But because of God's protection, that sort of thing does not have to hurt us so much, because we know that God is protecting us and he's the one who provides for us. So stepping on lions and scorpions is not actually doing that in itself, but it means something different. It means going into dangerous situations. If we have to go into a situation that's a little bit dangerous, that's okay, because we know that God is going to look after us and he's going to protect us. That could be something like maybe having to go back to school or going shopping with your parents. You don't have to worry about COVID-19. You can just pray that God will protect you and God will keep you safe. And he will do that. Verse 14 to 16, it now changes to where God is talking here. And God said, because he loves me, he being us, and me being God. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is really, really lovely. It's now God is giving us a promise and he is blessing us. He's blessing those people that love him, those people that trust in him. And God says, I will rescue him. That means wherever you are, whatever things might be going on, God is able to rescue you. He's able to rescue you from a bad day, from feeling too hot. He's able to rescue you from all of those things. And he promises here that I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. That's another way of God saying he gives me the honor that I deserve. When we're talking about the Ten Commandments, remember the first four commandments were talking about honoring God, not using his name in vain, remembering that he's the only true God and not to worship idols, and also to keep the Sabbath day holy. If you do those things, you are acknowledging God and acknowledging his name and appreciating how great he is. And if you do that, God will protect you. And God gives us here a promise. He says, he will call on me and I will answer him. This is so important for us to realize. When we are praying, we are calling on God for help. And when we do that, like it says on here, if you're trusting and believing God and have given your life to Jesus, he will answer you. And then he goes on to give us more promises. God says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So the deliverance is quite good, because the deliverance is keeping you safe. But not only that, God promises that he will honor you. He will set you apart from everyone else. And he will show that you deserve great things. And isn't that wonderful to know that God says that as a promise for people that trust and believe in him? And he says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. To be satisfied is to be happy with whatever you are, to be happy with your age, happy with the activities that you have to do that day, happy with the food that you have, the clothes you have. And that's what God says. He says, I will satisfy him, not only with the things that he needs, but with also a large number of years that he will be alive. And I love the bit where it says, and show him my salvation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't just die to save our souls and to make sure that we get to heaven. He also saved us from worry, anxiety. He saved us from bad health. He saved us from feeling sick or ill or anything like that. So when God is talking about his salvation, I just imagine somebody who is growing old but still has good health. Not growing old and you're in hospital and not feeling well, like some people have, but growing old and you're still able to go out, skipping down the high street, enjoying your life. That is a good way of growing old. And that is the promise that God gives in the last verse, which is verse 16. It says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God wants to show us a good and happy life that we can lead, where we're surrounded by grandchildren and we're nice and old, but we're not frail and we're not tired all the time and we're not sort of like not able to do things with our children and grandchildren. But this is good old age where you're still fit and healthy, able to live on your own and cook your own meals, and there's nothing wrong with your body. And everything is working perfectly. That is God's salvation. Not just being able to go to heaven, but enjoying the journey as we go and enjoying the life that he has given us right now. So that's Psalm 91. And you can use it to pray. You can say, even just take a little part of it. You know, you can say, Lord, I pray that you will keep me under your shadow and under your wing. And I want to hide in you to protect me everywhere that I go. It's such a beautiful psalm. And you can pray it in different ways. You can take big chunks of it and pray, use that as a prayer one day. You could even use verse 7 that says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. And you could pray, like, Lord, as I go out today, I pray that even if other people are going down with COVID-19, that will not be me. You will watch over me and no bad things will come near me. So that's one way you can use it to pray. But I hope you found looking at that interesting and I hope it has blessed you. Do take care. Before we go, let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's listening to the broadcast. I pray that they really enjoy it and that it blesses them and they enjoy hearing more and more about you. Keep them safe, O Lord, and hide them under the shadow of your wing. Hide them from the devil and any plans that he has to make them sad. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Next week, I will be doing a quiz. So make sure you come with a pen and paper and we'll do a quiz about some of the things that we've learned about. We'll be looking at some of the women that we've studied and also some of the things that a Christian should know. So it'll be all varied and just really relaxed. So don't worry too much about, you know, you don't have to worry that, oh, it's going to be testing you. It's just going to be fun. That's what it's supposed to be for. So do take care and I'll speak to you then. Bye.